Hey, I'm Butterfly.
Hey, I'm Firefly.
Have you ever wondered if we aren't being told the truth about everything?
What have we been lied to about? Join us as we have conversations and ask questions about everything. We invite you to keep an open mind and consider the unfathomable.
Let's break the chains that enslave our minds. Come on, let's go down the rabbit hole.
What's up, Butterfly?
Hey, Firefly, what's going on?
We are going to do another episode here.
We're
going down a rabbit hole. I got to stop saying that.
Yeah.
You've corrected me. We're not doing an episode. We're going down a rabbit
hole. That's what they are.
They're rabbit holes.
And Joe Rogan doesn't like that.
Joe Rogan.
So we're going to keep doing it.
Joe Rogan goes, excuse me, these people going down these rabbit holes, they're doing a disservice to real conspiracy theories like myself who are in the cult. So anyways, so today... We were kind of, you know what it was, is tell me a little bit more about that interview that we watched with Gareth Icke.
Oh, yeah. That kind of like kind of refreshed our knowledge. It gave us a lot of ideas and refreshed our knowledge about this whole idea.
The Culture Club
in regards to like the music industry.
Yeah, because she was like Gareth Icke's guest. I can't remember her name. She was she was related to Donovan, who was a 60s pop star.
Yeah.
And she was related to Brian Jones, who was in the Rolling Stones.
She was really interesting.
She was so interesting. And what happened with her is she kind of got red-pilled because she was like looking around at all the people in the entertainment industry and realizing kind of what we talk about a lot. This is, again, kind of a prediction. She goes, everybody's capitulated.
Right.
That's what was bugging her.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of had made these spiritual compromises in their lives. And she was also seeing that there was like this toxic culture club mm-hmm. that would kind of sabotage people's lives.
Totally.
Like just regular people trying to live their lives. And now they're getting like adversely affected by this culture club.
Yeah. And I think she realized what was going on. And like, you know, how we have like these epiphanies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyway, we've talked about the music industry kind of a lot. And, I think there's some gnarly stuff that goes on with that. And one of the things that they like to refer to is the 27 Club.
Yep.
And what is that? It's kind of gnarly.
So she kind of brought it up in the context of Brian Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So she's related to him, right? So the 27 Club is this group of rock stars who died at 27. Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin.
Eddie Vedder?
No.
Eddie
Vedder's still alive, but he... So this is my theory. So let's take... So when she was talking about the 27 Club, she made a good point. So she was saying Brian Jones was the real power of the Rolling Stones. Mm-hmm. And then... The way the narrative went with him is, well, he was just a weirdo and a drug addict, and he died of a drug overdose.
It seems like most of them, they either die of a drug overdose or they're suicided.
They're suicided. And so it's like, well, yeah. They were just a troubled person. Let's just move on. They're a loser.
Right.
But no, I think he had the real drive. He had the real power. From what she was saying, Mick Jagger was... completely in bed with the Culture Club.
Oh, yeah.
Like, right from the start. He was like, I'll sell my soul, no problem. I think Brian Jones might have been like, I'm not selling my soul. I have a different vision for this band. She was suggesting he had teamed up with Jimi Hendrix to start a super group, kind of like Cream.
Whoa.
And think about how gnarly that would be. Brian Jones and Jimi Hendrix fronting a band.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could have been like one of the bands that you and I would totally know. Right. Like a household name.
Yeah.
And they both get killed.
That's weird.
That's weird.
Yeah. And then what about Paul McCartney? Now, supposedly he's still alive, but he does not look the same.
Well, they have that.
You
So
know?
they have this guy that I watched a video. He's on BitChute. He's the guy who only gets like 111 views.
Like
But
us.
yeah, because he's on BitChute, he tells gnarly truths. So he did this full-on expose on Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney got killed in 1966. So they came out with an album called Abbey Road. And on Abbey Road, it goes bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer came down on his head. Bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer made sure he was dead.
That's creepy.
That's a weird, it's kind of got this bouncy little like melody to it, but it's telling about Paul getting his head bashed in by a guy named Maxwell. And there's a real dude in that milieu who was a murderer named Maxwell that might have hit him over the head with a hammer, and that might have been them revealing the method. So now people might say, dude, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. Paul McCartney just came out with a new fantastic album just recently. He's still 81 years on tour. You know, great. You know, but what if that dude is a double?
A double,
So my point is with the 27 Club is I think Satan. You know how they steal patents? So you know, like the guy who invented the technology
for a car that runs with
on
water.
water, or there was another dude who he's actually still alive. He created the ability for a website to have multiple links to a website on the same page. He created that, and that was the technological foundation for Facebook and all social media. Because if you think about social media, when you're scrolling, it's a website that you visit with a bunch of links to websites in it. So that was gnarly. They didn't know how to do that. This guy came up with that. DARPA stole the technology. They didn't kill him, but they just stole it from
That's
him.
what they do. They just take patents and stuff.
So Satan, he has an office that have DARPA's one division, but then he's got his music division. And he's like, excuse me,
Right down
DARPA.
the hall.
Yeah, so he has a meeting with DARPA and he goes, you guys are doing good, 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 good. Keep stealing technologies and killing people who invent stuff. Good, good, good. I'm gonna go check in with music. I'll be right back. So he goes in. So now Satan leaves that office and he goes, music, music, how are you guys doing? Good, good, good. So
Busy guy.
he is like, I gotta check in on these things. I'm busy. I'm gonna go to lunch in a second, but I just wanted to stop in real quick before lunch because I'm gonna go to the Habit. But by the way, my assistant, can you order me a bacon cheeseburger with guacamole and fries?
Actually, I think Satan would probably go to lunch at the Ivy
Satan,
in Beverly
he's
Hills.
all, I'm gonna go there. No, who knows? Maybe Satan gets a burger. So anyway, Satan's about to go to lunch, but he just got done like checking in with DARPA. And now he's going to check in with the music industry because he controls both. So he goes in there and he goes, good, good, good. So the 27 Club. So I think what they do in the music industry, what Satan does, is people come out with earnest offerings. Remember how I was talking about, like, if you listen to early U2, early Pearl Jam, they're really soulful,
They're really good.
sincere.
And then there's like a shift
And
in their sound,
their sound
you
makes a
know?
distinct shift and becomes poppy, more
It's
commercial.
like you can tell when they like sold out, you
So
know?
I'm a bad person. Anthony Fauci said, if you keep letting people like me talk, then you can kiss civilization bye-bye. But I have a conspiracy theory. I think Satan comes and sits down with you and goes, okay, good, 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 good. No, you have some very soulful music. I think people really like your stuff, Jimi Hendrix. You sound great. Your guitar playing is incredible, and we're gonna make a ton of money off you because you're just incredible. And then Jimmy goes, but nah, man, I'm keeping it real. And Satan goes, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear that. So okay, well then let me go get with my team and we'll move forward however I think we have to. So I think what happens is he goes, okay, team, Jimi Hendrix decided not to sell his soul. So what we've decided,
We gotta cut him loose.
we're gonna so his story is in Germany, he drinks a lot of beer and chokes on his vomit. So that's what's gonna happen with him, which is kind of weird. You would think that a dude who, you know, is used to partying is probably not going to drink beer and choke on his vomit.
Probably not.
I mean, I've done a lot of partying. I've never choked on my vomit. That's how he gets, right? So he's like, "Well,
it's like the lady that choked on her ham sandwich."
Yeah, remember? Mama Cass.
Yeah.
Yeah, she probably didn't sell her soul. They're like, "You need a ham sandwich for you."
That's how you're going down.
There's always weird deaths, you know, like Bruce Lee. They go, "How did Bruce Lee die?" He's like gnarly. He's like fighting all these dudes. Well, he took some aspirin. had an aneurysm. So yeah. I think all of those are Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I think all of those causes of death are Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I think what happens is, you know, Satan sat down with Jimi Hendrix and said, "Okay, here's what are you gonna do? You can just go be a nobody and play guitar on the streets, you know, or you can be world famous. I'll make you a household name 50 years from now." And Jimi Hendrix probably went, "No, I don't need it. I'm too talented. I can be something awesome on my own." He goes, "I'm sorry to hear that. So team, let's go ahead and unalive him. And the cover story is he drank beer and choked on his vomit. Good, good, good." So, and I think what they do is that now they've captured Jimi Hendrix's pure musical essence. Dude, Jinx, they've captured his essence. And now they make money off of his essence going forward. And with Jimi Hendrix, it was more financially advantageous to Satan to just have him killed off, have that be a story. And then in the height of his power, he gets killed off. And then they just make money off of his music. Because I go to Jimi Hendrix's Spotify page. They just came out with a new release of unreleased stuff.
Oh just my recently. Gosh. So they were like stashing this stuff for a long time.
So because Jimmy just had his own studio, Electric Ladyland Studios, and he would just go in there and record every day.
And they probably knew that. So if they can like unalive somebody at the height of their popularity and everything, then it's like they capture their essence at that time. And they control everything going forward instead of waiting and possibly this person becoming like less popular or whatever. You know what I mean? So they go down.
So that's the other scenario. So that's the other scenario. So now Eddie Vedder has a meeting with Satan in 1994. And he goes, Eddie, good, good, good. You just had three good albums. You had 10. 10 was big. It had Release and Jeremy. Good job. Good job. And those were just your honest sentiments, and people really liked it. And then, dude, you followed up with Verses. You had Rearview Mirror on there. It's a good song. People bought it. Both of them went platinum. And then now you started to get Vitology. Now, Vitology, you started to get a little deeper and a little bit more spiritual, which you kind of start losing a little bit of your audience because we have a pretty shallow population. So what we're going to need to do is we're going to have to make a determination. Now, I could kill you. You're about 27. Or you could die right now. Or do you want to keep living? Just sign right here. And Ed went, "I'll sign right there. You mean I get to have a supermodel and tour around the world for the rest of my life? And even if I come out with bland, tasteless music going forward, I still get to have a career?" "Yes, yes, 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 yes. That's correct. You just need to sign your soul right here. And then when you die, there'll be a demon bringing you to your eternal roost." And Ed got his nipple pierced on the way to the Get Tacos. He just decided. So I think there's two choices. They either get unalived, or they sell their soul.
Right.
And then once they sell their soul, they still come out with music. But then it's like, you remember that U2 album that got like shoved onto everybody's Apple iTunes?
Yeah.
Back in 2008?
Yeah.
It's like, here.
Yeah.
You have this
album.
You will
listen to this.
And then you listen to it and it's like, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
And it's like just horrible. And you go, what is this? It's not a beautiful day. It's a horrible song. So I think that's what happens. So Satan kind of makes a decision in real time, kind of like Ohtani when he's going to bat and gets a message in his ear and he goes, what? Oh, a strikeout? Okay.
Yeah.
So I think Satan calls the shots in real time.
I think they decide what's going to be more advantageous to them, you know, like.
So now
what they're going to get out of it.
So now that was back in 1971. So Satan went into his musical department back then and he called the shot. But now these days he goes in there and goes, good, good, good. Well, you know, everybody sells their soul today. So
right.
What we're going to do is we got halftime shows coming up for All-Star Game. And we're going to have Super Bowl coming up here in a few months. Let's get some satanic rituals going.
Totally.
Let's make sure that we got some satanic rituals. Madge, do you want to do anything? I know that you're happy to do satanic rituals or maybe make some predictions about horrific things that are going to be coming pretty soon. Do you want to do that? So I think that's kind of what his music work now. So then he leaves that department and he's got other departments too. But that's one of the departments, and the 27 Club is like part of his repertoire in that department.
Exactly. Yeah.
So anyways, that I was thinking, you know who I was thinking about was when we were listening to that Gareth Icke interview, that lady was really cool. She grew up in that and she saw the Culture Club and how disgusting it was, and she started going down rabbit holes. Remember?
Right.
That was what she did.
Yeah.
And so she said Brian Jones got killed. Because what's the narrative on Brian Jones? You probably don't remember, but Brian Jones, it was always said, well, he was just a troubled loser, and he fell in the pool when he was all high.
Yeah.
That was how he died. He's just an idiot and he's a loser. Let's move on, Mick. Come on, you know?
I think it's interesting how, like I mentioned before, that they all are just supposedly these troubled losers who either overdose or commit suicide. You know, it seems like a lot of them, like what
Well, I'm a drug addict, and I can tell you
if
get good. Like, I've been a drug addict since like 1991, so I have many years of drug use. You get good at doing drugs, and you don't really just go accidentally die. You kind of get killed, I think.
Yeah, something gets laced,
I mean, yeah, it's always the same thing. Like the guy from Sublime. And it's always musicians. They just like they die real easily.
it's a convenient way to go,
They had the guy from Sublime, Brad Knoll. They had the guy from Blind Melon, Shannon Hoon. They all just literally died.
Yeah,
Just like
what about in excess?
he hung himself. You know what they say he
That's
did?
interesting.
You know what they say he did, which I think is probably true. I think some guys don't kill themselves. There's this thing where dudes like to have a girl get them off while they're being strangled by a belt,
Oh, that's weird.
and then they want to be choking almost to the point of passing out when they finally blow their wad, and I think they kind of mess up and sometimes die.
Is that what happened to him?
That's around the
Really?
campfire. And then same with
That's
David Carradine or
gross.
David Carradine. Yeah. So sometimes that happens. Like, so I think that some dudes die by trying to get off by choking themselves. I do think that that happens, but who knows?
I don't
Maybe the
know.
NXS guy, because he was at the height of his
I
career.
know. I think he got unalived by hanging.
Well, if I remember correctly, a
You
lot of
know?
chicks kind of dug NXS.
Yeah.
Like, he probably
I
could
mean,
get some hot
if you were
chicks.
the chick that was present during that time and that was really true, that story, wouldn't you like help him out?
I don't want to kill you.
Excuse me. He's like,
He was like dying. He was like, oh, he's really digging this. I don't know.
I don't know. It seems
That
weird.
happened to David Carradine, and that was kind of like, and then you look at David Carradine and
That's an
you
embarrassing story to have after your death. You
kind
know,
of,
what about Kurt Cobain? That
well,
was super fishy.
so there was new evidence that
He
just
was
came out.
27.
He was 27. And now, have you seen this new interview with that dude?
No.
So he was hanging out at his house the night he died. And these two weird guys came by and said, you guys need to get out of here right now. And he's like, why? I don't want to leave. I'm friends with Kurt. For Kurt was totally friends with him. And he goes, Kurt was hiding from Courtney. He was hiding from Courtney. So remember how we kind of talked about how Courtney Love was his handler?
Yeah.
So Courtney obviously was like, I'll sell my soul, no problem.
Oh,
Satan
yeah.
goes, good, good, good. You'll sell your soul? Good. We'll give you a band called Hole, which will be kind of fitting because you're kind of a, well, anyways. Well, so your band's gonna be called Hole. So anyways,
Terrible,
so
terrible.
bad. It's like the one between them.
Gross.
Anyways, so she sells her soul, no problem. Like you can tell, like when you look at Courtney Love, you can tell she sold her soul.
You could just look at her and you're like, oh
Yeah,
God,
there's like
yeah.
no qualms
It's
about
kind of a disaster.
it. Totally. And that's probably like just because, she's probably a disaster because she's just has no soul. But she gets assigned to Kurt Cobain. So what this guy says is Kurt comes downstairs and is in the kitchen just getting like a sandwich, you know, or he made himself a TV dinner. Remember TV dinners? So Kurt warms himself a TV dinner. He's just hanging out. So he's a millionaire rock star, the most famous rock star on earth. And he's making himself a TV dinner, hanging out with these like loadies. And the loadie is there going, "Hey, what's up, Kurt?" Oh, doo-doo. And then he's going, "All right, later." And then Kurt comes down the next time and he can't talk and he's totally sedated. Like he looks like someone shot him up with something, so he can hardly talk. And then this guy is going, and he's going, "Hey, what's up, Kurt?" And Kurt's unresponsive. And then this guy's coercing him upstairs into the little house where he got found. And there's all of these weird anomalies where the gun would have had to do this weird 360 and land. The gun shell casing where it was found is not in keeping with someone blowing their head off. And he had more heroin in his system that there's no way he could have functioned with that much heroin. And Courtney also had apparently talked to this dude and offered him 50 grand to kill Kurt. And then when that guy came out and said that, he was killed the next day. So what I'm starting to see is I'm a bad person, but Kurt was not wanting to join the culture club. He wanted to divorce Courtney and start a different band. And he wanted to get out of Nirvana and take his fame and start his own thing. And they said, "Well," Satan went, "come on now. We can't have that. So, Courtney, you're gonna have to go take care of that." And it worked out perfectly. So what they decided was, with Kurt, he wasn't gonna sell his soul. So they had to kill him. So Eddie Vedder, he sold his soul. They didn't have to kill him. Kurt said, "No, I'm not selling my
I
soul."
think you're right. I think that's what happened.
Yeah. And then look at how, see what they do is they come up with a narrative. So his death was obviously a murder, but they, you know, Satan sat down with Courtney and she had to come to his office and he goes, "Okay, Courtney, what you're gonna do is you're gonna get some dudes to kill him, but there's gonna be a fake suicide note. It's a fake suicide note that you're gonna just write the last two lines and your handwriting is gonna be completely different. So that's going to be the suicide note, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to kill Kurt and we're going to make it look like he committed suicide because he wrote songs that said, I hate myself, I want to die." And Courtney was like, "No problem. And I'm just going to get money for the rest of my life." And he was like, "Yes. I mean, Hole sucks, but Nirvana money is going to come your way." And she's like, "Good, good, good. Good, good, good. And then we'll let you come out with that Malibu album in 2008 just to kind of resurgence, you know?" And she even kind of makes an appearance. Have you ever noticed? They'll like let her trot out to some video or some interview now. So she sold her soul and she gets to have a career for the rest of her life. Just be a somebody.
It's not that she's so beautiful or so talented. You know what I mean?
Some people like Hole. Some girls really like Hole, but I think the girls that like Hole are the ones that eat what they're fed. They're like Fat Stan or Fat Steve when he goes to the buffet. When Fat Steve goes to the buffet on the cruise, he doesn't ask what's offered. He just goes, "Dude, I'm gonna eat a lot of this."
I'm gonna eat everything.
I think that girls who like Hole, they just eat what they're fed. Hole is foisted on them by MTV, so they go, "It's good." Did you listen to it?
No.
You weren't into it.
No, not at
then.
all.
She was a little bit later. She was a little bit like more my era, kind of maybe.
Maybe she was, I don't know, she just was so trashy. I couldn't like, I just couldn't get into her. I didn't like her.
Well,
I didn't like
okay.
the sound. I didn't like the look. I was.
You did not sell your soul. So I think it's always been unappealing, people who have. Maybe
I can
you've always
sense
had an
it.
aversion.
Totally.
Because I noticed we were talking about Charlie Sheen the other day when he went on Joe Rogan, and just bringing him up makes you snarl with disgust. So I think you hate people who sell their soul.
I do.
Otherwise, you and I wouldn't get along.
It's just so phony. I don't like phonies, and
Like if
I
you
get
saw
bought
an
up.
Eddie Vedder, if you saw a Pearl Jam concert, if I mean obviously if they're playing their songs from 30 years ago, you're gonna like it. But you probably don't like Eddie Vedder's last album.
I don't even know what it is.
See?
I mean, I liked Pearl Jam, but I don't listen to like any
But
of their
see,
newer
you're like
stuff.
me. You liked Pearl Jam with like their first couple albums.
Yeah.
Because they have that song Release Me. Have you ever listened to that song?
Yeah.
That's a soulful
Yeah.
album.
And Jeremy, that was a really good song.
Jeremy was about a kid who feels unwanted and unloved and kills himself. That doesn't sound like social engineering.
No.
That sounds like genuine concern for kids growing up in a dystopia and falling through the cracks.
Right.
So I think Ed was kind of like a good person.
Maybe.
And he just decided, well, I'm a good person, but having a career and a supermodel wife is more important than being a good person.
If they even really write their own music, because I wonder about that too.
That's true.
I mean, I really wonder if all of these people are actually writing their own songs,
You know,
you
that's
know?
so interesting because there was a new Bob Dylan movie that just came out called, I can't remember what it was called, No Direction Home or something like that. And it was this actor playing him. And what I was noticing is if you listen to Bob Dylan's music in the 60s, this is a 25-year-old writing these songs. And the songs have wisdom that can only be accrued by someone who has years and years of life experience.
I know.
A 25-year-old doesn't have that life experience, that
No,
wisdom,
that's
that age.
yeah, and that's such a perfect point because that's like what I've noticed. Like some of these, a lot of these songs just seem like way deeper than what that person at
What
the
if
time
Satan
would have.
writes them?
Maybe Satan writes them.
Satan writes them. He goes, good, good, good. Here, this is how you
This
sing
is gonna
this.
affect people. We can
I've been around for a long time.
steer behavior with this kind of music.
I think Satan has a sentimental side.
Maybe.
He does. He's like, I wrote the Outsiders. It's a tearjerker.
Because
Satan can write tearjerkers.
he can get people to, as you always like to say, become sutured into the narrative, and then
Yes.
they can become manipulated at that point because they're so emotionally invested, you
Ooh,
know?
that's a good point. And like, think about the Outsiders, because you and I both talk about the Outsiders. You know what? You kind of look like Thierry.
I've heard that
Oh
before.
my gosh, I just thought about that. You totally look like Diane Lane in that movie.
I love that movie. I love her
Well,
in that movie.
she
She's
is so
so good.
great. And that movie is so great, but wait a second, we know it's Culture Club. And so there's social engineering going on there, but it's so emotional. But what is the social engineering? It's like the kids are in gangs,
Yeah,
remember?
yeah.
And it's like normalizing this idea that there's the Sosias and the Greasers.
Well, it's kind of, you know, the Romeo and Juliet. The
Yeah.
West Side Story, they're all kind of based on that theme, you know?
Satan kind of likes to glorify street gangs.
Yeah.
Why? Because Satan really wants to corrupt kids. That's important to him. He's like, no.
If you can get them when they're young
If I
and
can turn
mold
you,
them.
yes, if I can turn you into an immoral bottomless pit when you're in your teens, most likely you're just gonna grow up to be a degenerate, tattooed, fat Dodger fan. And that's what I want. So the 27 Club is actually really interesting because I think I'm a conspiracy theorist. I think the 27 Club is the ones who refuse to sell their souls.
I think so. They renege on Satan's
Yeah.
deal. So they
Yeah.
make a deal with Satan and then they try to renege on it.
Because, like, Jim Morrison's death was real interesting. Have you ever looked into that? So he went to Paris, and then only three people see his body. And
That's fishy.
he dies in his room with only his girlfriend around. And who knows that she wasn't a handler. I'm
Exactly.
starting to think that Satan kind of works that way. He goes, good, good, good. Here's a hot chick that's going to tell you what to
The
do.
honey
I know you're going to be really, really turned on by her and you're going to have sex with her. So that's good. Go ahead. I'll let you do that. But he's going to basically tell you what to do. And if you disagree, I'm going to kill you. So I think that's kind of how it works.
Yeah. I think
So I think when Jim went to Paris, maybe he was trying to get out of his script.
maybe, but you can't renege on Satan.
He goes, excuse me,
No.
you don't think I can go to Paris? I've been to Paris.
So they either kill them at the height of their fame and glory and they go down in history, or our other theory is they kill and clone.
Kill and clone.
Kill and clone.
You know who I thought
That's a
of?
new
Kill and clone. It's kind of like Kevin Kline, but it's Kill and Clone.
Yeah.
But it's the old 1-2 combination.
Yeah.
It's
Kill and clone this.
So you know who came to mind?
Who?
Pat Benatar.
You know, why is that?
Just totally random, and
Yeah.
it's probably mean, but I was thinking, okay, so it's been a while since Hit Me With Your Best Shot, right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
So she came out with Hit Me With Your Best Shot and I Am the Warrior. So she had some cool songs in 1982, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit later. Was it 85? So she was cool, but it's been a long, long time. But she still gets trotted out in interviews.
Right.
And she probably came out during the cooties and was like, hit me with your best vaccine. You know what I'm saying? So why? Maybe for some people like Kurt Cobain, it's better to just kill them, and that's their ethos, that
Yeah.
story.
Yeah.
And it's like
And it's tragic.
their backstory.
Yeah.
And that makes people like, you see kids now, they're still obsessed with Nirvana, still wearing shirts.
Right.
So it was effective marketing.
Yeah.
With Pat Benatar, it's different. Like,
Yeah, I don't think she would have the same effect on, like, if she got killed. I don't think
no.
people would be wearing her
And they're
shirts.
like, yeah,
Yeah.
you want to wear it. But no, this is what I think might happen with Pat Benatar. What if Pat Benatar, she wrote some soulful songs that were really good. Satan stole her essence and goes, okay, well, rather than just let your fame wane and let you try to, maybe she refused to sell her soul too. So let's just hypothetically assume that Pat Benatar had a meeting with Satan and she said, no, I'm not selling my soul. Hit me with your best shot. And he went,
Maybe that's
well.
where she came up with that.
And so Satan goes, well, you asked for it. I'm gonna give you my best shot. So she might have got killed and cloned. She got the KC.
Kill and clone.
Kevin Kline? No, no, it's
Kill
not.
and clone.
It's kill and clone. So she got killed and cloned. So why? Why would they kill and clone? First of all, remember that dude came out in 1971. He was on the cover of Time magazine and he was like, human cloning is real and it's going to become a gnarly problem. And he said that in 1971. So now, what year is it now? We're talking
It's been like 15 years.
54 years. So
Yeah.
we've had cloning for 54 years at
They've
least.
probably like really perfected it by this point. They've dialed it in pretty good.
And I mean, do you think that you and I have the ability to look out into the crowd and tell who's cloned and who's not?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So, could Pat Benatar have said, I'm not going to sell my soul? They killed her and cloned her. And now her clone, kind of like Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney got killed in 1966. His clone or body double, maybe he's another actor, maybe he's like Daniel Day-Lewis and he just
I
acts the
think
part.
he's probably it has a body double because it just if it's a clone, he should have looked more like the original,
Yeah.
you know.
So that's one option. But Satan, he goes, excuse me, I have a whole quiver of options. So I might kill you. I might have a body double. Or sometimes now we use DNA and we'll just go ahead and
Kill and
clone.
clone.
Yeah. So I'll have a Pat Benatar clone that I just roll out for interviews every once in a while to say, hit me with your best vaccine. So I am thinking that that could be something that they do.
So
They kill and clone.
you think they clone them because they can control the clone better than the original?
Yeah. So I think the clone, I think what they do is you take someone like, do you remember Jewel?
Yeah.
Who will save
She
your
had the voice of an
soul? She was so beautiful.
She had the voice
And
of
she
an
was all
angel.
in Alaska with cold, ugly, hairy dudes. And she had soul. And she was humble. Then she sold her soul.
Yeah.
And you can see like her eyes got dark and she started getting gaunt and sinewy like Kate Winslet. So, anyways, Jewel, you know, she comes out with this soulful album, and Satan goes, good, good, good. I'm going to steal that essence and I'm going to make millions of dollars off that, but I'm going to kill you or you sell your soul. And Jewel was like, I'll sell my soul. Just get me out of Alaska with all those hairy, ugly dudes. So she got to sell her soul and come live in Malibu. And so,
That's a big difference.
but do you notice when you listen to Jewel? Because I listened to Jewel. I liked her a
Yeah,
lot.
yeah.
Who Will Save Your Soul was such a good
It
song. And
was.
there was other good songs on that album. I loved
She
her.
had a good Christmas album too. It
See?
was like just her voice was so pretty, you know?
But I think that was probably after she sold her
I
soul.
think it was, because
So
that was
what
very commercial.
Totally. So what happened is she came out with that first album and Satan goes, I'm stealing that. And now, look, you have a choice. I won't kill you, but you'll sell your soul. And Jewel went, I'll sell my soul, no problem. And so now she comes out and she's kind of looking like Miley Cyrus a little bit. And
That's
she's just
adorable.
like kind of slutty look on her face. Like Jewel looked like she was waiting for marriage and then had a gang bang. That's what it kind of looked like. She like made a distinct shift, you know?
Yeah.
And her face looked all different. Her music was, like you said, like Christmas songs. That's totally like sellout,
Right.
you know? So I think that's what happens is Satan takes these people who have very real, like Alanis. Remember Alanis
Alanis
Morissette?
Morissette.
She had really beautiful, powerful songs. And then now you listen to her now, it's like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Natalie Merchant.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think they have these beautiful songs and they just are soulful. And Satan goes, good, good, good. I'm going to make millions off of that. So I think what Satan does with these people is he makes a corporation out of their essence.
Right.
And then someone has to head up that corporation. It's either going to be that artist who sells their soul and now they head up the corporation, or it's a body double who is the front person for that. Or they just go ahead and kill it, and that corporation is just the legacy of that person, you know? So Satan's got a whole bunch of ways that he does this, but I think the 27 Club pertains. My theory, and I'm sticking to it, is you don't get to have a career in music unless you sell your soul.
Right.
And if you choose not to, but your music is awesome, you're probably 27.
27.
Some of them get 27 and they're not 27,
Yeah.
but they still get
They
27.
get unalived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know who I think is fishy is Brad Noll from Sublime. So Sublime writes this album called 40 Ounces to Freedom, which became like generationally, it's one of the you ever heard that term seminal? It's a seminal album from the 90s. It's like a groundbreaking work, right? Because he molded the sound of hip hop and reggae in Southern California and just was able to embody it. So right before the album gets released and it becomes huge, he dies of a heroin overdose.
Interesting.
And
Another overdose.
it's just a heroin overdose. Like, well, you know, I don't know. How easy is it to kill somebody and make it look like a heroin overdose? How easy is it to, especially if a dude's a druggie,
It's super easy.
you send somebody who's cool and go, oh, dude, here, come here, and then just shoot him up with just too much fucking heroin.
Right.
And next thing you know, that dude's dead, and you take all of his money.
You know who else? This is not a music guy, but who died of a heroin overdose that I thought was weird? Seymour Hoffman. Remember that actor?
Yeah.
That seemed weird,
It was a
you
weird time
know?
for him to lapse back into heroin overdose. He was like close to my age. I
Yeah.
can't, like, right now, I wouldn't want to do heroin. It's just too gnarly.
Yeah.
There's other ways to kill the pain and relax.
Right.
Why is he going to go start shooting up heroin gnarly at my age?
It's weird. That whole thing seemed fishy to me too.
Well, I also think that
And I heard
people.
he was really he was like super cool. Like he was like a cool, really nice guy, like normal kind of guy.
Yep,
So
who
I
was it I was talking to? So I took my mom's car in to get it
Oh
serviced,
yeah.
and the guy who was like the driver who drove me back to the house after I dropped my car off,
Yeah.
he had been a camera operator in Hollywood, and he was saying, "Julie Roberts, total cunt."
She
She's like,
was just awful.
"Oh my God!" She was like, "Excuse me, you're in my line of sight."
Get out
Because
of
she's
here.
so grumpy because she doesn't get to eat any cookies.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about
Somebody
her.
give her a cookie.
God, she's like, I don't get to eat any I want, and I'm mad.
I'm grumpy.
But you know, he said Tom Hanks was super cool.
I've met Tom Hanks. He's really nice.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Maybe all this pedo stuff might be just like his script.
I don't know. I mean, I think if you're a pedo, you probably have to be nice to like lure people in.
He's like, I'm really in a good mood. I had sex with a little kid, just a little bit. I'm how you doing? Good to see
I don't
you.
Know, but he is a nice guy.
But then the other one that he said was really cool was Philip Seymour Hoffman. He said Philip Seymour Hoffman talks with the crew without any air of superiority at all. Mm-hmm. No condescension in his tone. He talks to the crew that way. Mm-hmm. He seems like that.
Yeah.
I think he might have tried to get out of his contract.
Yeah, he might have tried to renege on Satan.
Because you know what was going on? He died like around that 2016 time. Mm-hmm. That's when Chris Cornell died. That's when that Chester Bennington guy died. That's when Anne Hesh died. They all died at this weird time. I think that a lot of them, Chris Cornell and others, were collaborating on a huge expose on child sex trafficking. That's my understanding.
I think you're right.
And they all got unalived for doing that. Because Satan goes, excuse me. Mm-hmm. You guys, I've given you a good career. And all you got to do is just shut up and go along. I've told you, child sex trafficking is kind of a big part of my operation. Because it corrupts youth, which is good, but it also blackmails powerful people. So I don't want to. So he's like, please, if you would, I'm going to have to unalive you if you start coming out with like documentaries exposing it. Just shut up about my child sex trafficking. So I think that might have.
I think it might have.
So, you know, maybe I'm blackpilled, but I'm thinking. Getting into the entertainment business is kind of a perilous journey.
I think so too.
You could get out alive down here in the middle of
nowhere. It doesn't seem to end well for most of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even Gene Hackman went the whole journey and then ends up like all these mysterious things about his death.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I haven't really looked into it, but you were telling me there was all this weird intrigue around his death.
Well, he was like found dead with his wife and their dog. They were all dead, like in bed together. How did they all die at once? That something's not right there.
They all loved him so much that when he died, they couldn't live either. They're like, we died too. His dog's just like, oh, I died. That's weird. So, point being, that lady on Gareth Ike, she was cool. The only thing I didn't, you know, there was one thing that kind of made me kind of like diss her a little bit. Hmm. She goes, he goes, well, what made you start going down these conspiracy theories? You know, you seem to have had a red pill moment. She goes, well, I listened to System of a Down. And I was like, no.
Yeah, you know? You told me that. I've never heard of them, so that didn't really affect me.
They're like...
She said something that I noticed, too, that I was like, I don't know if it was about flat Earth. It was about something that I was like, that's interesting.
Well, when you say that System of a Down woke you up and red pilled you, that's almost like saying Peter Gabriel woke me up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or like, oh, I listened to the Police and now I'm red-pilled. No.
Yeah.
The Police and Peter Gabriel and System of the Down, that's all blue-pilled. Even if they're coming out and saying down with the system, they're part of the system.
Exactly. Like so, down with the man.
Yeah.
But let's do what the man tells us.
What I noticed about her too is she's kind of coming out like she's anti-cult, but she kind of seems like she's in the cult because she's going on Gareth Ike and she's getting foisted. So maybe
I don't know. I don't think she's really foisted yet. I'd like to get her on our show.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But what if she has a script, and what if her script is to come out and talk smack about the music industry from within? Because maybe Satan likes doing that.
Well, maybe we should get her on our show. We'll find out.
Should we have guests?
I don't know. We've never done that.
Never had a guest.
We've never done that. It's just always been just us, just Butterfly and Firefly.
Would they have to come here in person? They would have to come here in person.
I don't know. But actually, when I listened to her, I told you, I'm like, this is like one person I think that would be interesting.
You didn't say that. Yeah. I remember that.
I think
I wasn't as enamored with her as you are. I thought it was cool that she was a conspiracy theorist. But I thought she kind of seemed a little bit enamored. She was kind of talking about it like she was like, oh, wow, it's so amazing. So I don't know. But what I did notice was that she was talking about Brian Jones. And that's what made me think about this 27 Club episode, because what she was kind of suggesting was Brian Jones was the power of the Stones. And they killed him.
I believe it.
So today, I think we kind of came to the conclusion that Brian Jones probably murdered. Kurt Cobain was probably murdered.
For sure.
Jimi Hendrix murdered. Bon Scott. See, Bon Scott and Jimi Hendrix, you know Bon Scott.
Yeah.
He's the lead, he's the original lead singer from AC/DC.
Oh.
And then he died when he was young.
27.
Like, he was like, I might have been a little bit older, but died by choking on his vomit. Whenever
that seems to be a common theme.
I've passed out drunk so many times. I've never choked on my vomit. So I'm wondering if these flimsy causes of death might be covers.
Well, the stories that they come up with for a lot of stuff are very flimsy, you know, and the people just believe it.
Like, he died of COVID.
Yeah. Or like, we found 4 passports 3 blocks from the World Trade Center. These were the people that did the crime.
Yeah.
they just came out perfectly rubble. How about
the new one? Like, Charlie Kirk is actually a superhero. He's got superhero bones.
Right.
So the bullet stopped.
That's why there was no exit. We couldn't find the
bullet. And I noticed there's no blood.
Well, because he was a clean bleeder.
He's a clean and Trump. So, you know, Satan is really good at putting on shows. Have you noticed?
Oh, yeah.
That's what he loves to do. He loves to put on these elaborate theaters and then call it news.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's called news.
It's elaborate theater news.
Breaking news. Breaking show.
Bombshell. That's what Marilyn Monroe was. Isn't that interesting that word bombshell was used during Cooties for the, what was it called? Operation Mockingbird.
Yeah.
So bombshell was one of the key words, but it also represented like a really smoking hot chick in the 50s.
Exactly. I mentioned that in that episode
that we talked about. That's so weird. That. I was thinking about that. Like
that term.
So maybe though that specific word is charged.
It's a trigger word.
Maybe that's what it is. So this was cool.
I think this was awesome.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about for this specific episode pertaining to the 27 Club?
No.
Oh, Amy Winehouse. Maybe. I want to talk about her really quick.
Okay.
Because Amy Winehouse, do you remember her?
Mm-hmm.
She was portrayed as this out of control loady going to rehab all the time.
Right.
Which is probably true. But you know what? Somebody can be a drug addict and still be super intelligent.
Right.
She was intelligent.
Yeah.
And she also, she seemed repulsed by the cult. Like that's just, she seems like she exuded that vibe.
Yeah. And you know what? They seem to use, the rehab story a lot too. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
These people, like when they start to like go crazy, they either go crazy or they end up in rehab or they both they're crazy and then they have to go to rehab. You know, that seems to be a common theme also.
You know what I think it is? They're handlers. Rehab is where they get calibrated.
Totally.
That's what it is. It has nothing to do with drugs. Rehab's where Satan goes, come here. No, don't be saying this or doing that. You are on script. I own you. I think that's what it is.
I think so too.
Once you sell your soul, you don't do your own thing anymore.
No, you stick to the script and you do as you're told.
And I bet Amy Winehouse, I look at her and I bet she got told the dynamics of what happens. And she was like, no, I'm not doing that. And looks like you're going to have an overdose here. Have a nice day.
So this is kind of interesting that this is called the 27 Club, because I don't know why this brings to mind. There's a thing.
Today's the 27th.
Is it?
Oh my God.
Well, okay. So that's not what I was thinking, but.
And the 100th episode was Destiny.
That's weird. I was thinking this makes me think about that thing at Disneyland. Isn't there a thing at Disneyland called Club 33 or something?
Yes. Well, but see, so, 33 has different significance.
I think we're going to have to go down that rabbit hole. We haven't gone down the Disneyland rabbit hole yet, have we?
A lot of people have died at 33.
Uh-huh.
Now, 33 is how old Jesus was when he died.
Right.
So the culture club hates Jesus. Like, they spit when they say his name. And they call him the imposter. So Freemasonry It's the 33rd degree Mason is the highest order. You've kind of, it's kind of like a Scientology where you kind of go and you take this course and then you take this course and then Tom Cruise is like, I've completed all of the courses. I have beat the boss level. So that's kind of like there's a boss level in that too, where you get up to a certain point and now you have accomplished it. So I think that might be what's going on with the Freemasonry. 33rd degree Freemason. It's called 33 because that's when the imposter Jesus was killed, and they have attached special significance to that specific number. That's at Disneyland. The 33 Club is above Pirates of the Caribbean. That's where you can go see Walt's head. It's Walt's head is at the table.
I think we'll probably have to do a whole episode on Disneyland.
What if we did it from the 33 Club? What if we're sitting there at Walt's
We might
table?
not make it out. Might be our last episode.
Walt like gives orders to have us killed like right from his head, just still gives orders. I'm wondering, Walt might be looking to be reanimated at some point.
For sure.
No
He
pun.
did freeze his head for a reason.
He's like, all I need is a hard drive.
Well, he probably knew about the cloning that was happening even back then,
Well, yeah,
right?
because you know, he seems like he was in the culture club, kind of like the Simpsons. You know how the Simpsons guy is like making all these predictions?
That's not just
Walt
happening.
was in the culture club.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Disneyland might have been Satan's whole brainchild. He might have been like, good, good, good. Let's create a big place. Because what does Satan want to do? He wants to corrupt kids. It's really important. And when you go to Disneyland, there's all this like satanic imagery, you know? And it's like, well, Snow White's mom died.
They're all evil. Let's save all this for that episode.
Let's do
That's a good that's gonna be a good one. A
it.
good rabbit hole.
Okay.
Well, this was a good one. That was
Nothing
fun.
else?
Nothing for me.
Okay, good. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Okay, bye.